God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, even though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling, there is a river whose streams shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High.
God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her just at the break of dawn. The nations raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Come, behold the works of the Lord, who has made desolations in the earth. He makes war cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariots in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. May God bless the reading of his word. Let us pray. Father, thank you for those encouraging words. We pray, Lord, that you break those words into our hearts this morning and help us, Lord, grasp something special from it to apply to our day-to-day lives. Thank you, Lord, that you are present in our midst today, and we can be sure, Lord, that you will indeed speak to us. So open our eyes, open our ears, so that, Lord, we would truly hear from you. Lord, use my lips to bring your word. Fill me to the brim with the power of the Holy Spirit. And fill this room, Lord, with that power of the Holy Spirit, so that we will live here, Lord, having met with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. There are some Bible passages I have referred to again and again during difficult times. And I've recommended them to many people as well. Psalm 46 is definitely one of those Bible passages. This particular psalm is the basis of Martin Luther's popular song titled "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God," which he wrote around 1529. It was said that when Martin Luther heard discouraging news, he would simply say, "Come, let us sing the 46th psalm." It brought such warmth to his heart, and I hope that it will bring warmth to your heart this morning. Faced with great opposition from the Pope and others in the hierarchy of the Catholic Church, he was very clear about the source of his strength and ultimate victory. We can detect this in the first two verses of that song, "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God." This is what he wrote. "A mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never failing. Our helper he amid the flood of mortal ills prevailing. For still our ancient foe doth seek to work us woe. His craft and power are great, and armed with cruel hate, on earth is not his equal. Did we in our own strength confide, our striving will be losing. Were not the right man on our side, the man of God's own choosing. Dost ask who that may be? Christ Jesus, it is he. Lord Sabaoth, his name, from age to age the same, and he must win the battle. In line with this song by Martin Luther, let us confidently declare this morning that Jesus will help us win all our daily battles. When I started preparing this message, the title that came to my mind was A Truly Secure Hiding Place. But later I changed it to A Truly Safe Hiding Place. But as I reflected further on Psalm 46, I concluded that it would be more appropriate to combine those two titles. Therefore, the title of this message is A Truly Safe and Secure Hiding Place. In Psalm 46, verses 1 to 3, the writer of this psalm started by saying that even though terrible natural disasters, such as earthquakes and floods, may happen around us, we will not fear. We will not fear. Even though we may experience terrible problems and go from crisis to crisis, we will not fear. I would like to focus on the reasons for this bold attitude by focusing on the following key points. 3 points as usual. The first one, we will not fear because God is our refuge and strength. We will not fear because God's help is readily available. And last but not the least, we need to be still. We need to be still. Let us examine those 4 points in detail. The first one, we will not fear because God is our refuge and strength. In Psalm 46, verse 1, we read that God is our refuge. I checked the dictionary meaning of refuge, and there are many meanings, but the one I like most is found from Webster's dictionary. And it says, a refuge is a shelter or protection from danger or distress. While Psalm 46 verse 1 assures us that God is our refuge, you will note that verses 7 and 11 repeated some important additional information about this God. So who is this God? Who is our refuge? First of all, the God who is with us, as described, is described as the Lord of hosts. The Lord of hosts. As we know already, the word Lord in capital letters, as in King James Version, or New King James Version rather, refers to Yahweh, Jehovah God, the great I am who I am, the Almighty God. But according to some information I found online, the word hosts is a translation of the Hebrew word Sabaoth, meaning armies, armies. So a reference to the angelic armies of heaven is actually what is implied by hosts. So the author is saying in another way that the Lord of hosts is God of the armies of heaven. Therefore, saying that the Lord of hosts is with us is a statement that we have on our side the infinitely powerful God who can summon vast angelic armies to help us when necessary. Now, you may think that this is rather theoretical. angelic armies to help us? Well, maybe you have been helped already by angelic armies, but you didn't realize it. You didn't see them. But maybe God actually dispatched some angelic armies to help you already. I believe in my life that He has already done that. There was a time I had an accident, and the next day they sent me a driver and a car to pick me up. That's my company Shell. And that second day, the second car was going head on to collide with another vehicle. Remember, I already had one accident the previous day. But all I said was, "Jesus, Jesus." And at that moment, the driver was able to swerve and we averted that accident. I believe the angelic hosts were there. I didn't see them with my eyes, but at the call on the name Jesus, something happened. So maybe you have already experienced it. But actually, there is an example for us in 2 Kings chapter 6. You know this story very well. This was when King of Syria sent a powerful army to capture the prophet Elisha, who was staying at the city of Dothan. The Syrian army surrounded the city at night, and when Elisha's frightened servant saw them early in the morning, in panic, he asked prophet Elisha what they were going to do about it. The answer given by Elisha is found in 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 16. Elisha said, "Do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them." When God opened the eyes of Elisha's servant, he saw that the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. Brothers and sisters in Christ, when we are going through our difficult times, let us claim by faith that the Lord of hosts is with us. And let us remember those bold words of Elisha. "Do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them." Whatever your problem is, however big it might be, put God on your side, and He will do something about the problems. I will explain further later. But remember those bold words. "Do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them." Now, the second description of the God who is our refuge, as indicated in Psalm 46, verses 7 and 11, is that He is the God of Jacob. Why is that significant? Why is it important that the God who is our refuge is the God of Jacob? Well, I think this is probably a reminder that this God is a promise-keeping God, a totally reliable God. He kept all the promises He made to their ancestors. He kept His promises to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. And He will continue to do so. He will keep the promises that He has made to you and I. He is a reliable God. He will never, never fail us. Read those Bible verses. Claim them for yourself. He will make them come to pass in His time. He is reliable. The God of Jacob is on our side. Based on these observations from Psalm 46, verses 1, 7, and 11, we can have full confidence that our powerful, reliable, and faithful God will be there for us to give us His total protection and help when life is rough and tough. We are truly safe and secure when we take refuge in him. Now, I wasn't in this country during the Second World War. In fact, I was born just after the Second World War. I just missed it. Is it a good thing? Maybe. But during the Second World War, some of the London Underground stations were used as a kind of refuge from the bomb raids conducted by the Nazis. Here is a statement attributed to the late Barbara Castle, who was a young Labour Party local councillor in London during the war. This is what she said. When the Blitz came, the people of London created their own deep shelters, the London Underground. Night after night, just before the siren sounded, thousands trooped down in orderly fashion into the nearest underground station, taking their bedding with them, flasks of hot tea, typically British. We have to drink tea. Flasks of hot tea, snacks, radios, packs of cards, and magazines. People soon got their regular places and set up little troglodyte communities where they could relax. I joined them one night to see what it was like. It was not a way of life I wanted for myself, but I could see what an important safety valve it was. Without it, London life could not have carried on in the way it did. So the London Underground stations served as refuge for many people. But knowing that there is a refuge or shelter in an underground station and refusing to use it could have had terrible consequences. For us to enjoy God's protection and security, we need to run to him by faith during those tough times. You need to surrender all to him. And I say, are you really going through a tough time? Let's run to him. And there is a Bible verse that encourages us to do that. Proverbs 18:10 says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are safe. The name of the Lord is a mighty tower. In other words, it is strong. It cannot be destroyed easily. In fact, the name of the Lord can never be destroyed. It's a mighty, mighty tower. It is strong. It can take all pressures. But you need to run to it. For safety, you need to run to it by faith. I know you might say this is normal. It's not very normal. Some people have problems and they just wallow in the problem instead of going for the solution. Our solution is in the Lord. This strong, mighty tower. Let's run to him and be safe. Let's run to him and be secure. Let's run to him and enjoy that protection that he offers. May God help us to heed this wise advice. Now, Psalm 46 verse 1 also points out that God is our strength. God is our strength. This is a big encouragement to us because the problems of this life can erode our strength and we become weaker and weaker. I don't know if you have a problem and it refuses to go away. It has a way of weakening you day after day after day. But there is good news for us. And that is We have a God who can renew our strength.
Amen.
He can renew our strength. This is clearly stated in Isaiah 40, 28 to 31. You know these verses very clearly. But I just read it again. Just remind you again that strength is available. We can renew our strength. We can be refreshed. I don't know about you, when I go on holiday and I basically just let others do the work, they feed me all kinds of food, I relax, I come back refreshed. But you can be refreshed day in, day out by this our wonderful God. Isaiah 40, 28 to 31, you know it. But I want to repeat it to you. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord, remember that phrase? But those who wait on the Lord, these are the people referred to, those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Are you waiting on the Lord? Because this benefit is for those who wait on the Lord. What does it mean to wait on the Lord? Another version says something like abide in the Lord. Abide is related to abode. Abode, a kind of shelter, a home. In other words, it's like you have found your home in God. Your home is in God. You are living in God. It is those people, those kind of people, whose strength will be renewed. Are you abiding in God? Have you set up your tent in God? God can strengthen you. God can refresh you. Are you short of strength this morning? As our God, our dependable refuge and strength, he will supply the strength that you need. But I want to say that it is not easy, because there are times when the situation does not change. We pray and pray and the situation just doesn't change. Remember the words and experience of Paul. I always find it very encouraging personally. In 2 Corinthians 12, 8 to 10, concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. For my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Seem like contradiction. When we recognize that we are weak, we run to God for strength. And he supplies the strength and we become strong. So are you weak this morning? Is the situation unchanged this morning? Let's follow the example of Paul. Because he knew how to draw strength from God so that he will be strong. I challenge you and I encourage you this morning. Come to the Lord. Draw his strength and you will be strong. For my grace is sufficient for you. May God continue to strengthen us on our pilgrim journey. I'll quickly go to the last 2 points. We will not fear because God's help is readily available. Psalm 46 verse 1 also says that God is a very present help in trouble. A very present help in trouble. This means that when we are in trouble, we can easily find help from the Almighty God. Now, I highly respect our queen, and I believe she has been doing a great job for this country. You might call me a royalist, but I really, really love the queen. I'm pleased that she has been in the news for many good reasons over the past few years. There have been some weddings of her grandchildren, and she has been blessed with some great grandchildren as well. But I want you to imagine this scenario. Imagine I have a very big problem, and I think that our compassionate queen is the one to solve it. And I go online, I buy my tickets, I get my discount with my senior rail card. I go to Buckshaw Parkway, get on the train to Preston, I get on Virgin train to London Houston, get on the underground, get on the bus, make my way to Buckingham Palace. I get to the gate, I tell the gate people, I say, I have a big problem, and it is the queen who can solve it. I would like to see her. I need to see her. Do you think they will allow me in? In this day and age, the answer is no. They might even arrest me. They might consider me a security risk and arrest me. However, when I have a problem, I can just talk to the Almighty God and request for his help. And note this, even the archangels cannot stop me from accessing my God. The archangels, Gabriel, Michael, whoever they may be, they cannot stop me at the gates. No, they can't. Why? Because the way is paved by my Lord Jesus Christ. He has provided me the access to the Almighty God day or night, 24 hours, 7 days a week. And it doesn't matter where, it doesn't matter when, I can just call on my God. What a privilege. We are taking these things for granted, my brothers and sisters. It is a big privilege. I can access God anytime. God is infinitely more important, obviously, than our precious Queen Elizabeth II. Infinitely more powerful. She bows to this God. She bows to my God. I might not have access to Queen Elizabeth II, but I have full access to the Almighty God who made Queen Elizabeth II. Brothers and sisters, we will not fear because God's help is readily available. It is there for us. But I want to say one important thing. This help is only available to those who are God's children. John chapter 1 verse 12 says, For those who have received him, to them he gave power to become children of God. If you are one of them, then indeed all these blessings and privileges are yours. So I ask you this morning, are you God's child? If you are not, this is an opportunity to consider that. And the last point I want to go to is, we need to be still. In Psalm 46 verse 10, we read, "Be still and know that I am God." Now, when we have problems, let us take time to reflect deeply on who God is. He is the God who created the vast universe and everything in it. He is the one who loves us so much that he sent Jesus to this world to die for us on the cross. He is really the one who can bring us peace and victory. When we truly realize how great God is, then we'll also realize how small our problem is. Our great God is so great that our problems become so, so small. Biblical scholars say that the statement, "be still," can be translated as follows: enough, stop, let go. I repeat, enough, stop, let go. Are you holding on to your worries this morning? If so, God is saying, enough of your worries. Stop your worries. Let go of your worries. I like 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 7, but I'll read 6 and 7. "Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you." Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Those precious words challenge us to cast all our care on the Almighty God. Are you casting only part of your care on him? I think it's easy to do that. We cast part of our problems on God. We say, well, we are praying about it. Yeah, I'm trusting God to solve this problem. But it's only part of it that you have brought to him. You are holding some while you've given part of it. No, but he wants all of it. God wants all of your problems. Isn't that amazing? You have a problem? God says, give it all to me. Wow, I like that. I really like that. Give it all to me. You are carrying a heavy load, and God says, give it all to me. You know, sometimes when you see an elderly person carrying something, oh, you go there and you help the elderly person to carry it. The elderly person appreciates it very much for that politeness. I think it still happens today. I think so. But God says, give it all to me. So this morning I'm asking you, brothers and sisters, are you keeping your problem to yourself? Are you holding to some of it? God says, give it up. Give it to me. I am not saying that it is easy, and I don't want to underestimate how difficult some problems are. I don't want to underestimate the fact that when we're in our own problem, it's so easy to press the panic button. It almost comes naturally to us. We just don't even think about it. We panic straight away. So I'm not underestimating that. But what I know is that our God is saying, be still and know that I am God. Mm-hmm. Be still and know that I am big enough to take care of this problem. Be still and surrender it to me, and I will do the rest. I read a note dated February 24th, 2017, in the popular daily Bible reading note called Our Daily Bread. That's what I use, Jane and I use for our daily devotion. I was challenged by what I read, and I would like to share it with you. It's a very short note. Please listen to what someone wrote from based on her own experience. She said, "Even all these years, after losing our 17-year-old daughter, Melissa, in a car accident in 2002, I sometimes find myself entering the world of what if. It's easy in grief to reimagine the events of that tragic June evening and think of factors that, if rearranged, would have had Mel arriving safely home. In reality, though, the land of what if is not a good place to be for any of us. It is a place of regret, second guessing, and hopelessness. While the grief is real and the sadness endures, life is better and God is honored if we dwell in the world of what is." The world of what is. So I ask you this morning, are you living in the world of what ifs, or you are living in the world of what is? What ifs can depress us? I know from my own personal experience. What if that has happened? What if I had behaved in this way? Of course, we can learn lessons from the past. But what ifs can depress us very, very easily. So this morning, if you are living the world of what ifs, God is saying, be still and know that I'm God. He can take care of it. He can take care of the past in every single detail. He will take care of it. So let us trust him and let us live in the world of what is. May he grant you his peace, which passes all understanding, as we face the difficulties of life. In conclusion, in this message, I've tried to show that in God we have a truly safe and secure hiding place. And this has been the experience of faithful Christians down the ages. We considered the following key points. We will not fear because God is our refuge and strength. We will not fear because God's help is really readily available, and we need to be still. We have a great and mighty God to whom we can run for help at any time, day or night. In him we find all the security and strength that we need to successfully face the problems that come our way. However, in order to enjoy his peace, we need to be still. We need to let go and let God. May he help us to do that as we continue this pilgrim journey. Brothers and sisters, if there is anything in your life that you need to rearrange, if there's any area of your life that you are sure God is not happy with, I challenge you to please rededicate your life to him today. And in case anybody here is not yet God's child, I challenge you, remember John 3:16, For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God has already done it. You need to accept Jesus by faith. May God interpret this message into our hearts. Amen and amen. Let us pray. Excuse me. Father, thank you for your word that has gone out. I pray that you will achieve the purpose for which you have sent it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you.